Radio Molossia.
News break. This month's news in the Republic of Molossia.
Post Office Construction in Max, 15 February 2025. Post Office under construction. As some of our infrastructure ages, His Excellency the President has decreed that it's time for renewal. January saw the inauguration of our new custom office, replacing the original tiny custom shack, built in 2009. The new custom office is actually the repurposed old Molossia post office, which itself is being replaced. The new post office will be about twice the size of the old one and designed to be more open and airy. Visitors to our nation will now be able to enter the post office and see firsthand the working of our legendary efficient postal system. In addition, the new post office will eventually be home to Radio Molossia, our famous radio station from which it will be broadcast from booth on the roof. Work continues apace on the construction of this new institution, with plans for it to be complete and open for business by March. All hail the new post office. Passing of Max. Molossia is mourning the passing of Max the Dachshund. Max arrived in Molossia over 2 years ago, a rescue, orphaned when his previous humans passed. He was already 13 then and nearly 16 when he crossed the Rainbow Bridge. Max's favorite pastimes were snuggling next to the president on the presidential couch and eating. He definitely enjoyed his victuals, especially human food. Max was a firm part of our nation and a beloved member of the Molossian household and will be missed very much.
In other news, Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead.
Molossian Camel Corps, 27 February 2025. Molossia may be adding a Camel Corps to our mighty Molossian Navy. Recently, His Excellency the President and the First Lady took another voyage to Mexico, and during this trip, they had the chance to ride camels through the Mexican outback. This was the first for the first couple, although the President has sat on a camel before for a photo op. But this time around, the camels transported the President and First Lady on a winding course through the desert and along the beach, a truly enjoyable foray indeed. Afterward, the first couple were treated to an in-depth natural history of camels, quite an interesting creature. The President expressed interest in perhaps adding camels to the Molossian menagerie with an eye towards a new branch of the Molossian Navy. These camels would be used to patrol the vast reaches of our nation and environs. This idea is not new to the area, as camels were once used as pack animals in the nearby U.S. towns of Dayton and Virginia City. This experiment was short-lived, as the camels tended to scare horses, also used as transportation in the area. Those camels were eventually released into the desert to fend for themselves and apparently thrived in the wild up until the 1940s. Since then, camels have not been seen in the region, but perhaps they can make a comeback as a future addition to our great nation.
Excuse me, sir. Seeing as how the VP is such a VIP, shouldn't we keep the PC on the QT? Because if it leaks to the VC, you can end up an MIA and then we'd all be put on KP.
Drumming my bass with his fingers, singing my life with his words. Killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
Jason Grimm watched the huge condor soar above the canyon, dip below the rim, and glide to the ledge. He had to get that rare egg before the female condor started hatching it. And he had to get out of this rugged country before the rainy season turned every canyon into a raging torrent. He parked his camp truck at the edge of the canyon, slung his knapsack on his back, and hooked his canteen to his belt. Jason then tied a rope to the truck bumper and let it dangle over the sheer cliff. He climbed down to the ledge and began photographing the nest. The condors didn't take kindly to the intruder. Jason had to flatten himself against the side of the cliff several times to avoid their power dives. But as they swooped by, he got some exceptional pictures. Suddenly, from above came a rattling of stones, followed by a heavy crash. He had parked the truck too near the edge of the cliff. The earth under it was crumbling. Jason watched helplessly as the truck tumbled past him down into the canyon. The face of the cliff above and below the ledge was smooth and unbroken. He was trapped. His only hope was that he could attract the attention of the remainder of the expedition if it arrived. Jason Grimm had enough food and water with him to last for a day. He rationed himself severely. Always hungry and thirsty, he allowed himself but a sip and a bite before morning. A week passed. His food was gone, and but a few drops of water dampened the bottom of his canteen. Still, he heard nothing from above that indicated the arrival of the rescuers. As a last resort, he cooked the condor egg over a fire made from the sticks of the nest, hoping the smoke would attract help while he had his last meal. But no one came near the canyon. The huge birds, their nest destroyed, left to rebuild elsewhere. That night, Jason was awakened by a blinding streak of lightning and the crash of thunder. Jets of rain beat down upon him. Rocks from above, the earth around them washed away, tumbled around him. Then the ledge began to crumble. A roar from below added to the thunder from above. Lightning flashed, and Jason saw a raging stream shooting through the canyon. The mountains above formed a huge funnel, sending their suddenly collected water through the only outlet. Jason Grimm had but one chance. He dived into the swirling torrent below him. Swimming was impossible. The roaring water tossed him back and forth like a ship. At the mouth of the canyon, the stream widened and cast Jason, bruised, battered, and half-drowned, onto a shoal. The flood receded, and he was finally found by a hunter who made contact with the rest of the expedition. The others greeted him, all talking at once, asking questions, and saying they'd given him up for lost. After the first excitement was over, Dr. Jenkins questioned him.
I say, Jason, it's amazing, but tell me, did you get the condor egg?
This is Pat McGeehan in Hollywood, California, saying goodbye from my writer, Charles Crowder, and inviting you to listen to Ride for the Money, our next tale of Strange Adventure.
Ever I
Listening to Radio Molossia.
Truth is stranger than fiction. This is the proof. This is Ripley. Believe it or not.
Married men in the Akela tribe in Africa always cut their meat into small chunks with a knife held between their toes because before their wedding, they were required to knock out all their own teeth. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the man who bit a crocodile.
Visit the Bank of Molossia and get your collectible Molossian coins.
There have been many stories told about an instance when a man bites a dog. However, I don't think you'll hear many about a man who bites a crocodile. When this man named Hannock was seized by a huge crocodile while swimming in the Kafue River in northern Rhodesia, he decided to bite back. He clamped his teeth on the tip of the reptile's tail, forcing the crocodile to release him and retreat into deep water. Although Hannock himself had been severely bitten, he recovered in the hospital at Lusaka, believe it or not.
Our situation has not improved.
Radio Molossia.